How can I show God's mercy to people who've hurt me? Hey, this is Cherie at Bible Project. In this episode, Tim is opening up the book of Jonah, where we see God's merciful character towards his enemies, and a prophet who really doesn't like that. How does God respond to Jonah? And what about us? What does God do when we struggle to have compassion for the people who've hurt us? There's lots to reflect on today, so stay tuned and listen in.
Hey, everybody, this is Tim Mackey at Bible Project. For this week's reflection, we're pondering the story of Jonah in the Old Testament prophets. This is a well-known story in the Bible, but it's not so well understood. Most people think first about the big fish that swallows up Jonah, but the real big surprise in the book comes in the climactic fourth and final chapter. But first, the story in summary. It begins with God's chosen prophet who refuses to cooperate with his own God. Instead of announcing God's message to the Assyrians, who were Israel's greatest enemy at the time, Jonah flees from his God by getting on a boat to cross the Mediterranean. And so God sends a storm to expose him, and our rebellious prophet finds himself tossed into the waters. But these death-dealing waters actually become his salvation, as God rescues him through the belly of a sea monster. After that, Jonah goes to Assyria, and his message is really taken to heart. The Assyrians and their animals turn to God and discover his mercy. And so we turn to the final chapter 4, where we expect to find Jonah basking in the success of his prophetic career, but no. The chapter begins, "And this was all very evil to Jonah, and he became hot with anger." And so begins Jonah's tirade against God. Jonah accuses God of being too nice to bad people. He says, "This is why I ran away in the beginning. I just knew that you're gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, overflowing with loyal love." Now, you as the reader are supposed to know that he just quoted one of the most famous verses from the Torah, Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. It's where Moses is on Mount Sinai interceding for the Israelites who just made and worshiped the golden calf. And in that story, God was about to destroy his own covenant people, but Moses asks him to forgive. He brings up the fact that God has already made a covenant promise to Israel's ancestors to bless all of the nations through this family. And so, after hearing that, God forgives, and he explains to Moses that he's doing it because he's gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, and full of loyal love. So, the fact that Jonah would now use these same words to critique God for forgiving his enemies, it's thick with irony. Jonah and his people, the Israelites, only exist because God forgives people who rebel against him. And Jonah can't see that the mercy God just showed to Assyria is the same mercy sustaining his own life and the life of his people Israel. After his rant, Jonah goes outside the city, and he asks God to take his life. And he does this in the same exact words that the prophet Elijah once used in 1 Kings chapter 19. In that story, Elijah made his despairing request after a massive failure to turn the Israelites away from foreign gods and back to Yahweh. It didn't work. And so here, ironically, Jonah makes the same request after a massive success. He just turned a whole nation back to God. And so this comparison with Elijah holds up Jonah's selfishness for ridicule. It's showing how easy it is for God's covenant people to forget that they exist not for themselves, but to represent God's character to others. It's like Jonah's world has become so small, he can't fathom why God would even want to forgive anyone else, except, of course, for Israelites like him. And so God makes one last attempt to get through with an object lesson. There's this vine that grows up to give Jonah shade from the sun. And ancient Israelites reading this story would have burst out laughing because the name of this rare plant in Hebrew is kikayon. And when you say it aloud, it sounds like you're saying the Hebrew sentence, "He vomited Jonah." Kikayon. Vomiting is what the fish did to Jonah, and it's as if God now responds to Jonah with his own vomit through the vomit plant. But no sooner does God provide the plant that he takes it away. And this, of course, makes Jonah even more angry because the vine was the only thing in the whole story that ever made him happy. So God asked Jonah a question. He notes that Jonah had shown a lot of favor towards this plant. And so God asks, is it okay if I show a similar kind of favor on something that's slightly more valuable, like a huge city with 120,000 people and all of their animals? And that's how the book ends. Not with a clear moral lesson, but it ends with God's question. Is it okay if God loves his creation and its image-bearing humans so much that he will give every opportunity for people to discover his mercy? And if those humans happen to be the enemies of God's covenant people, God says, are you okay if I show them indiscriminate kindness? Are you okay if God loves people that you despise? That's how this book ends, and I hesitate to say anything more, because the author chose this really powerful way to end the story without any resolution. And that's because the book of Jonah, ultimately, is not about Jonah. It's about the readers of the book of Jonah who belong to God's covenant people. And the story is showing how one of the biggest obstacles to God's purposes in the world is God's own people. When our view of other humans gets taken captive by a story other than the story of God's overflowing love and mercy for his broken creation, when we mistake our enemies for God's enemies, we become a lot more like Jonah than we're willing to admit or imagine. And so let's finish this reflection in a very simple way. Try calling to mind the person in your life that you dislike the most, or maybe the type of person that you just can't stand, and ask yourself, are you okay with the fact that God passionately loves them? So much so that God came among us in the person of Jesus to give his own life and love as a gift to you and also to them. And if God has made this gesture of generous love to them, how does that inform how you should go on relating to them? Those are the questions the book of Jonah forces us to ask. And may God have mercy upon us. May he give us courage to own our failures so that we can go and love our neighbor truly as we love ourselves.
Jonah 4:1-11. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. But the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry? Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort, and Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? It is, he said, and I'm so angry I wish I were dead. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? Jonah 4:1-11.
Okay, so that was a quick overview of the book of Jonah. Let's make sure we got it before we move on. So the prophet Jonah really doesn't like the people God sends him to warn. They are his enemies, and he wants nothing to do with them. Jonah welcomes the fact that God would show mercy to people like him. But he's just about ready to die when God shows the same mercy to his enemies. So God sits Jonah down for a talk. God wants more from Jonah. He doesn't just want him to preach to his enemies. He wants Jonah to be compassionate towards them. Will Jonah agree with God's merciful perspective? And what about us? The book ends with a question to give us the opportunity to self-reflect. So let's do that together now. I have three things for you to consider today. Listen closely and press pause if you need more time. Here's our first reflection. Who's someone in your life you struggle to love? All right, now for our second reflection. Could you picture this person from God's perspective? How does he see them with compassion? And now our final reflection. What is one way you can join God's perspective and show love towards this person today? Thanks for joining us for today's reflection. Now, in closing, let's pray together. God, today we remember that you are gracious and slow to anger. You're abundant in compassion and generous with your kindness. This is who you are towards us, and we're so grateful. And whether we like it or not, this is also who you are towards our enemies. Help us to embrace the way you love, God. Let your character rub off on us and reflect through our lives. Help us to share your compassion with our enemies the way that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's message was by Dr. Tim Mackey. Our show production was by Dan Gummel. Our scripture reading by Michelle Jones. Our theme music by Grant William Harold. And I'm Shree Hayes, your host. Reflections is more than a podcast. It's a community of friends who are reflecting on the Bible all throughout the week. Friends like Catherine.
Hi, I'm Catherine from the UAE. I listen to the Reflections podcast because it helps me have a deeper understanding of what I read in the Bible.
Thanks, Catherine. If you want to dive even deeper, there's a video and even more detailed questions at our website. Check it out at bibleproject.com/study. Bible Project is a crowd-funded nonprofit located in Portland, Oregon. We provide free resources that show how the Bible is one brilliant story that leads to Jesus. We couldn't do it without generous people like you. Thanks for joining this project.